Welcome, a special welcome. I trust that God's going to really speak to you. I'm not saying it because it sounds quite cute when a leader says that. But as I was standing there preparing and as Hope was reading that, I want to just let you in about something that I have been led to preach next week. It's last week I spoke about the simple God's simple presence, the fact that we need to live in God's presence, and I would love you to listen to it. Nothing to do with me, listen to it. I think it's a key message. This week I'm speaking on simple prayer, but next week I want to talk about simple providence. And why am I telling you now? I think you need to be here because as I was sort of finished my preparation yesterday for today, I got into my message for next week, and I was just reminded again how incredible God is and how He has a plan for each one of us. And you are not an accident. You're not accidentally here. You're not accidentally here this morning. You're not accidentally even sitting next to the person you're sitting. You are not an accident. You're not just a person that roll along in life and luck all over the place. Luck, if you say the word luck, it means you believe there's no God. It's either luck or God because they don't go together. So before I get into preaching next week's message, now I'm going to say amen. But I would love you to come next week because God has got something, I believe, for today. You're not accidentally sitting here. You can say you accidentally, coincidentally been invited by somebody. No, it's no coincidence. The fact there was somebody that was invited by Juliana. And it's not accidentally that you and Juliana work at the same company. It's not accidentally, even if it's your first time and your only time that you ever come here, there's no such thing as coincidence. And there's some of us that has been invited by others and maybe only come once and that's the last time you come. It's okay. It's okay. And I can't prove that to you. I just know that's how God works. And so I trust that God's going to do something miraculous beyond my words this morning in your life, because He is near to us. He wants to meet with us. I believe he wants to talk to each one of us this morning in a very special way. That I believe. Yes. And so it's such a privilege to be able to speak to you this morning. And so I often listen to people when they pray. I listen when people talk about God. And more often than not, it gives me sort of a window or an idea of actually how they see God. And often when I hear people talk about God, I get this idea that most of us would say we know God is near. We know that God is with us. We know that God is for us. We know that God is present. But then we speak and act in a way as if God is far off. There's a fancy theological word called deism. That actually, without us even knowing what the word means, that we have this idea that God is a deistic God. In other words, a God that is far removed from His creation. He came to earth, or He created us thousands of years ago, and then He left us alone to be on our own. And when there's a crisis that's big enough, He'll get involved, and then he goes back to heaven again. Yes, we know He sent His Son, but He just sent His Son to save us quickly, and then up He goes. Because if we're honest with ourselves, many of us in society treat God as if He's this distant, uninterested God. We respond to Him in a religious way. And why do we respond to Him in a religious way? Religious way means a relationship with God without His presence. In other words, it's go through a list, do the right things, say the right things, act the right way, look the right way. And some of us respond that way to God because we really think that God is actually distant. Some of us obviously get it wrong in the other way. And I think there's very few of us here that are on the side of treating God sort of very casually. And those that are treating God like your buddy and like He's my dude and he's like my buddy, I think sometimes on the side of thinking that you do not have a true understanding of your of your sinfulness and God's holiness, because He is a holy God. And you are a sinful person. And you and I, in our own right, have no right to be in His presence, to be close to Him, to have a relationship with Him, for Him to be or stay or reside in us by His Spirit. But because of the work of Christ, and understanding that we now can be near to God and have a true, intimate relationship with Him. And so we know that the Bible talks about God is with us. It's the very name, one of the titles of Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. And throughout Scripture, if we read it, where there is a command to follow, where there's an instruction by the Lord, where there's something that God is calling us to, always close to that Scripture, you will find something of something that says, God is with us. I want you to do this, I'll be with you. I want you to do this, don't worry, I'm near. All over Scripture. And then you say, Marnie, because you might know your Bible very well, you say, no, Marnie, no, wait, there's an exception. I say, Jesus is on every page in Scripture. Everywhere. He wants to reveal Himself to you and I, and He wants to say to us, He is present. He said, no, Book of Esther, Marnie. Book of Esther, God, the word God is not used at all. That is true. The word God is not used in the whole Esther. But the whole Esther is about God's presence. The whole book is like shouting, my name is not mentioned, but I am in my providence. That's what we're going to talk about next week. In my providence, I am all over the book. The whole book of Esther is about me and my people and my love and care for them and the fact that He is leaning into us and He wants to meet with us. The whole book. Like, the fact that it's not mentioned is almost amplifying that point. It's shouting and screaming it out. So, often, our engagement with God, when we speak to God, when we want to talk to God, is one of a distance, with us distance God, and think like God is not interested in us. After all, He is the God of the biblical celebrities. Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, Peter, Paul. Why would He want to listen to me? God's always, and it's almost only into the big names. My friend, I want to say to you, if that's the way we see God, you don't read the Bible I'm reading. Because I see God as the God of all. I see God as the God of the nobody. And you might be sitting here saying, that's me. He's the one, he's the one that is hidden from others. Nobody knows your name. You consider yourself as somebody that has not accomplished anything in life. You're a loser. You saying you're a loser. I'm not saying you're a loser. God is into all of us. He is for all of us. He's not just. He's a God that's deeply interested in our lives. And so we often want to make, this morning my topic of my message is called Simple Prayer. Now, prayer is a complicated topic in the sense that there's different ways that we can engage God. But this morning, I don't want to go complicated. I don't want to give you 20 verses and give you a theology of prayer. I want to, this morning, speak about only one thing. You don't even have to take notes. This is the notes. I'll give you the note. Simple prayer. That's the notes. And then maybe you can write the scriptures down. Simple prayer. Simple prayer is foundational prayer. It's where it starts. Where you simply come before God and you engage Him. And see, the moment you use the word prayer, the moment you heard the word simple prayer, you didn't hear the word prayer, you heard the word simple. When you hear the word prayer, you go, oh my word, that thing I suck at. That thing that I just don't do. That thing that is so complicated and, oh my word, it's so, you know, I just haven't hacked this prayer thing. I haven't gotten right yet. Because, you see, when you think of the word prayer, you immediately go to formula. You say, no, I don't. No, you do. It's like, how must I pray? What is the right prayer to pray? I don't want to get complicated. I want to speak prayer as a foundational thing where you and I connect with God because He's near to us. How must I? It must be formal. And you know, what's the right words? When I hear the word prayer, it's Marnie, please tell me, what's the right words to pray? What must I look like? What must I sound like? Amani, it seems like the right way to do it is to speak like a guy that ate the King James Bible. thou sayeth the Lordeth, or something like that. It's like weird to me. Sounds like this guy Shakespeare for breakfast. Does he even hear me all the time? And if I talk to him, I have a history and a sort of way he I don't know if he even wants to talk to me. And you know, my whole life since I've known Jesus, I've spoken to him and I've tried to find a shortcut and how he will hear my prayers. What's the kind of prayer I need to pray to get the car? No, Marnie, I will never pray that prayer. I mean, okay, what's the kind of prayer? What does it need to look like for me to get the money? To get the girl? Or the boy? To get the breakthrough? Ooh, our favorite word. How to get the breakthrough? Breakthrough is another name for shortcut. God can cause a breakthrough in our lives. But no, that's not how we really look at it. We say, where's the shortcut? No, I don't want to change my life from darkness to light. No, I don't want to live the life. No, I don't want to be holy. I want just the breakthrough. I want to walk, say the magical prayer. In the one moment, I'm in darkness, completely not interested in God. And then the breakthrough comes. It's like there's a wall. I just go to the wall. Suddenly, there's a breakthrough. I go to a whole new level. New level. New devil. All these cool things, huh? What do I need to do to get that phone? There's a special prayer for iPhones, a special prayer for Androids. And then obviously a special prayer for dumb phones. Nothing wrong with a dumb phone. The other one we call smart in the office must be a dumb phone. Marnie, maybe I need to figure this thing out, and maybe I need this list. I need this way that I approach God. And it reveals how we see God as this distant, uninterested God. Maybe I'm going to Google it, and I've got AI now. ChatGPT 4, new one. Gemini, or the new one. What's it called, the new one? Deep 6. See, I'm going to use that, and I'm going to search on Google. Because the Bible misses it, and the Bible and this ChatGPT is going to help me to figure out how do I pray to this austere, aloof, distant God. But that's not what I see in Scripture. I see in Scripture something completely different. And when I look at the thousands and thousands of interaction between God and man, it seems that God wants us to fully express our emotions to Him. He wants us to express who and what we are, where we are. He wants us to come with all our junks. There's no sort of maneuver that we have to pull. He wants us to have an ugly cry. Men, you don't understand it. Ladies, you understand it. He wants us to have that ugly cry in His presence. Men, it means that lady has a cry that goes so bad that they have to go and redo makeup. That's ugly cry. And I see a God that says, I welcome those that want to have an ugly cry, that want to vent to me, that wants to have a meltdown. God wants you to come to Him this morning. He's calling you to come to Him with your meltdown, with your shout, with your venting, with your anger, because, man, that's your version of emotions. Anger, frustration, irritation. You just have nice words for it. No, I'm not emotional. Okay, but you get angry. God wants you to come with your full disclosure, with your outreach, with your despair, with your anxious thought. He wants you to come. That's who God was. He wants us to come into His presence. He's not hidden toward us. He's not austere and disinterested. You know, God's so serious about us coming with our junk to Him that He's written a whole book called Lamentations, where He's basically telling us, man, you know your grief of the past and now, and the sorrow of the past and the now, and the realities that you're finding yourself in. The world is shouting, God's not relevant, Scripture's not relevant, Scripture's so yesterday, it's so boring, it's so old-fashioned, it's written to another people in another dispensation, and so we need to find other ways. We're the most advanced. No, whole book written, Lamentations, and the word, you can go and Google it. The definition is, it's basically to bring or express grief and sorrow. And then on top of it, just so that God can prove His point, it's like there's 150 different kinds of poems in Scripture, a whole book called Psalms, 150 of them. written, and here we will see a reflection of full range of human emotions. Why? A full range of them, of emotions of joy, sorrow, fear, gratitude, repentance, and hope as people engage God in their different circumstances and their pain and their suffering and their loss and their frustration and even, yes, may I say this, their irritation with God, saying, God, how can you? How can you? Wouldn't you want to say to God, wouldn't you think it's real if you can come to God and say, God, it seems like you've let me down. Because we must be able to be that honest with Him. He wants to know that. The Bible, when I read the Bible, it's so different from how we sometimes, I see, we interact with Scripture. How we interact with God. God doesn't hide any shortcomings of the characters in Scripture. Now, Jesus had no shortcomings. But you know what? The Scripture do not even hide the fact that Jesus said to His Father, right at the end, He says, Lord, can I skip this? Can I pass this? Like, why would you put that even in Scripture? And then He sweats blood. It's like, why would you put that in? Jesus, perfect man. I think God's telling us, He wants us untethered with nothing held back. He wants us to come with Him, to Him this morning, to come with Him as we live our life and the messiness of our lives, and we need to start talking to Him. Talk to Him. Psalm 145 verse 18 said the following. It says, the Lord is close to all who call on Him. Yes, to all who call on Him in truth. Psalm 34 verse 18 says this, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. I don't know if that's, you've never been brokenhearted? We're not talking about when your girl walked off. That really doesn't count for me at this stage. We're talking about much deeper than that. We're not talking about you had an infatuation and now it stopped. We're talking about brokenhearted. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Those that are deeply grieving, deep sorrow of the past. He's close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. I mean, if you are at liberty, you would be able to put your hands up as, man, my spirit has been crushed the last while. Very much. God wants to hear about it. God receives us just as we are. He accepts our prayer just as they are. We do not seek to clean ourselves up, clean our prayer up, and then we come to God. Leave the cleaning to God. You are really not a good cleaner. I'm not talking about cleaning your house. You are really not good. How's that going for you if you try to clean yourself up? It's not working. It's hard work. It's crazy. One step forward, three steps back. Without Him, we stay dirty. We simply, without pretending, share our concerns, ask God what we have to ask God. We tell God everything we're experiencing. The fun, the sadness, the anger, the anything. Everything about work, about school, about finance, everything. Lord, everything. Lord, 2 weeks ago, Liverpool lost against Plymouth. That was painful, Lord. It humbled me, Lord. I mean, it's funny. But you know what? God wants us to talk about all those things that just sound like so, who cares? I honestly think God wants to talk to us about all sorts of things. He doesn't want us to hide. He wants to share everything about our work, about our school, about our finances. He doesn't want us to hide our sins and our mistakes. Simple prayer simply involves ordinary people bringing ordinary concerns to a loving and compassionate Father. If you could be a fly against the wall in my life for 56 years, you probably will never see an image of looking at a distance and say, I can see that guy's in deep 3-hour prayer there. Almost never. You would not see that, no matter in what phases of my life I was. But what you would notice if you could see very, and you can be very close to him, and you can sort of just figure, you would see a guy that have not gotten many things in the right, but I just do believe in the sovereignty of God in all things. You will see here a guy, when a robot goes green, and I'm late for a meeting, and it should have been red, I say, thank you, Lord. You made that robot green for me. I don't try to figure out, but what about the other people at that red robots, and they're going to be late now. I just think of my green robot at this stage. I thank God when I get to a shopping center and he gives me a parking close to the shop, so my family is against me and they want me to stop just here. And I say, no, they're not against me. They always make fun of me. Because when we get a shopping center, let's just park here. No, we need to get a parking close to the shop. As close. In fact, close. And then God gives me one. I don't sit there and I think it's my right. I just believe I have that kind of relationship with God. And then I will drive and something small will happen and I realize that was nearly an accident. If you know me well, I'm as distracted as they come. The fact that I don't have more accidents is a miracle. My wife will say amen. And the moments that I've missed it, you would have heard me if you were in the car. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the thousands of times that I could have been dead. Not just in a car, any other place. That's how interested God is in the minute detail. That time when you lost somebody, God was there. That moment where you had deep grief that nobody knows about. That time that you were deeply hurt by what somebody has said, and nobody on earth knows that really, really, really hurt. He wants you to say, man, that's my time. Lord, you remember that time? That was really painful, Lord. And sometimes we may feel we need to be other-centered instead of self-centered. But I believe the only way we move beyond self-centered prayer, if indeed we do, is by actually going through it, not by avoiding it. Here's what I mean. I'm going to con you a bit. I am trying to con you today. I'm actually trying to remove the barrier of your conversation with God. Because I want to do, by all means, I want you to say, man, God, can we talk? And as you start talking, and it's all about you, and then you come tomorrow, I want you to talk to him, and it's all about you. And then the next day, it's all about you. In fact, there's nothing else you talk about. And as you start doing it, I want you to get so used to it that you start enjoying it. Say, hey, God, can we talk a bit? And the more you talk, the closer you come. And the closer you realize his holiness and your sinfulness, and then your conversations start changing and you think, Lord, now we're at it. Seems like I'm quite liking this. Can we talk about somebody else and my relationship? And Lord, can we now talk about other things? And you just keep going. And your self-centered prayer will automatically turn into other prayer. Because if you meet with a creator of the universe, I don't think you can stay self-centered. It's not possible. And you just chat. And you talk. I say, Lord, can we talk a bit? And you talk. And now you start hearing his voice. And I can't hear him saying to you the whole time, yeah, you go, boy. You're the center of the universe. Yeah, you're my hero. You're the best that's ever lived. In fact, life is about you. I just wanted to tell you all day, all for the whole of eternity, I wanted to tell you that you are actually the king I wanted to be on the throne. We need to believe God can reach and bless us in the ordinary events of life. He will bless us where we are now and not just where we hope to be. We can be content and say, Lord Jesus, speak into my moment now. Don't believe that a lie, and that's what the devil wants to do. Don't believe in the lie that God is uninterested in the details of your life. You know what? I think you can sit with God and talk. You say, yes, Lord. Lord, what do you think? I've put this makeup on. What do you think? Does it suit me? I mean, not me now, please. I don't wear makeup. Lord, I've got these pair of pants on. Is it working? I honestly do believe that. Really. I mean, if you would think I'm mad. My wife hears me now and again talk to myself. I do talk to myself. Some of it is to myself, but some of it is sometimes to God. It's like, Lord, what do you think? Matthew 10 verse 30 says, God knows the number of hairs on your head. For some of you, it's none. It's very easy to count. He knows about those three. John 21 verse 8 and 9 says, God even prepared breakfast for his disciples. We know it was fish, not bacon and eggs, but nonetheless. Must have been Zambians because they would prefer fish for breakfast. Jesus even prepared breakfast for his disciples. In Leviticus 11, he even gave Israel a dietary plan. And it definitely included meat. He even gave them a dietary plan, what to eat. He fed people when they were hungry more than once. Over 5,000, way more. He gave them water when they were thirsty in the desert. He gave them food in the desert for 40 years. He organized that their sandals don't go through. So they didn't even have to walk bare feet. Did you see it in the Bible? It's just like, by the way, your clothes, your shoes is going to be next level. He's concerned about simple daily matters. If you struggle to pray proper prayers, just start by talking to God as if he's sitting next to you. You know, ladies, men, we're not actually always good at this. It's this, imagine him sitting next to you, leaning into you, making eye contact and say, talk. I want to hear what you've got to say. And not like Marnie sometimes does, I will listen right to the end. Do you believe God's that interested? Do you believe that God will say, okay, talk. It's as if no one in the world exists. Talk. Okay, talk. Okay, are you more? Okay, come. Is there more? Where that comes from? Talk. Let's talk. He wants to hear about your day. Share your heart. Share your sorrow. Share your joys. Share freely and openly. By the way, as you heard, I mentioned the word prayer. You think, oh my word, prayerless. When last did I pray? Well, tell God about it. Hey God, as if he doesn't know. Hey God, I mean, remember when I prayed in 2022? I just want to take that up again with you. He knows how to help us in each situation. I want to make the hurdle very low this morning. This is not a 7-point plan to start praying. This is not a profound read 7 verses, then you go. No, this is, let's go. Just start talking to him. Because on our own we can do nothing. See, the moment we tell him things, it's like saying, okay, God, I give up. I can't. I need help. Because you were created, I said it last week, you were created to need help before the fall. You were made to create. That's why God walked. We're in the presence of Adam and Eve before the fall. They needed him. They needed perspective from his perspective, not from yours. You're born to need help. Prayer is not a duty, it's not an obligation, but an invitation to intimacy with God, to know his heart. And simple prayer is honest, childlike prayer that expresses our daily needs and emotions without pretense. Can you do that? It requires no special training, no spiritual maturity. Prayer, I don't see in Scripture what it says. You can be, that you pray to God only when you're a Christian very long. The Lord's Prayer is a good example. Simple, short, to the point. Yeah? If you say it fast, you can say it in under 10 seconds. Now, I'm not saying say it like a recital, but it's making the point. Say, pray like this, Our Father, Matthew 6, 9. Pray like this, Our Father. Hey, Father. Hey, Lord. Hey, Dad. It implies that he cares. Speaking to my dad. Hey, Dad. Hey, Father. In heaven. Yeah, I know there's much more, man. I'm kind of going to the details here. Who's in heaven means, Lord, you get things I don't get. May your name be kept holy. Lord, let me realize there, my sinfulness, your holiness, your... But still I can come to you. May your kingdom come. May the way it's in heaven, because that's what you desire. All of us default, we desire heaven. We desire a place where there's no pain and suffering with God present. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then it says, give me my month's provision. No, no, no. Give me what I need today. It's so now. It's so immediate. It's so here. So present. Give me what I need today. Forgive my sins, because I definitely did. So cause separation between you and me. And so forgive me for the stuff that's just making as a make a barrier between us. And then at the same time, Lord, help me to forgive those that have sinned against me. It just changes everything. You know, you that have forgiven people in the past, you know, you want them to suffer. You experience the pain you have, and that's why you didn't forgive. At the moment you forgive, you realize you were in bondage. And don't let us yield to temptation. Lord, help me that I don't get myself in a situation where I don't know how to run away from it. But please rescue me from it. Help me that I don't go there. Help me, get me out of there. Give me the wisdom in the moment. Give me the self-control and the willpower to that moment to say no and to run away from it. Simple prayer is honest. It's direct. It's humble. I need you, Lord. Acknowledge the dependence on God. It's personal. It comes from your heart. Offer in your own words. Scripture helps us out to pray. Yes, I think it's important. It's beyond the scope of what I want to talk about this morning. Is the more we engage Scripture, the more God will give us vocabulary to pray, that I think now we can go much deeper, and there's so much God has for us than this simple foundational start to engaging Him day to day. Of course, there's much more. But let's start here. Low hurdle. Get used to the habit of talking to Him as if He is, which He is, present in our midst. Not distant. See, the devil is a master at when you commit that sin, to say to you, there you are, you blow it, don't pray now. And then you try and you make it, you say, nah, that's not true, that's the devil, I'm going to give it a go. Then you sin 5 minutes later, and he says, there you are, I told you so. Then you say, nah, because you follow Jesus, you understand these things, and you keep going. You say, no, I'm going to talk to God. But every moment, so now he doesn't remind you that you need to repent, because that's how he swings this around. It's like then you keep going, fourth or fifth time. He says, I told you so, check it out. And you stop praying, gone. Now you're not dependent on him to rescue you anymore. Now you're dependent on you to rescue you. And you spiral out of control. And he's got you. He just has to tell you, don't go to him. Not with a chunk you commit yourself to every day. Just stop. Eventually he's going to run out of patience with you. He's got you. He doesn't have to tell you there's no Jesus. He doesn't have to tell you what do you think of God. He should have to tell you eventually, just don't bring it to him. Just, he's not hearing you. Psalm 25 says, show me the right path. Point out the road for me to follow, Lord. Lead me in your truth. Teach me, Lord. For you are the Lord who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you. Psalm 86 verse 1 says, bend down. Yeah, that's so personal. Bend down, O Lord, and hear my prayer. Answer me. I need your help. Lord, protect me. Save me. Be merciful to me. In other words, don't give me what I do deserve. But some of the prayer hurdles, and I'm going to share a few things that I think makes us struggle with prayer sometimes and realize that we can take things to God, and then we're going to say, how does it apply to us today? And then we're done. I think prayer hurdles sometimes when we find ourselves in a weak moment, in a moment to express ourselves to God, we get involved in, and I would say, God replacements. And there's so many. I'm going to mention a few that just came to mind when I'm thinking of it. Streaming. Scrolling. Phones. Entertainment. Reading. Where we find ourselves in a difficult place and we say, no, I just need to numb myself. I just need to, it's so painful. I struggle so much. The stress is so much. You fill in the gap. And what I need to do is I need to find something. Gaming, online gaming. I need to find something just numb my mind, that I can start thinking of nothing. I just want to neutralize my brain so I don't have to think. Reading, all these things can be good things in itself. Now I'm reading. It's obviously, it looks like the, it's basically the 20th century streaming. But we read from morning to evening, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, like we do with streaming and scrolling. But at least in the 21st century, reading looks more acceptable. Even a Christian book, by the way. Just read one book after the other. Because it's trying to numb my brain. It's just that I just don't want to think of that which I need to deal with. And maybe in that moment, I'm not saying those things are bad. In that moment, the first thing when we find ourselves in that difficult place and that stressful, painful moment to say, Lord help, this is hectic. This is difficult. This is difficult. Here's my favorite one. This is the one I'm very good at. Verbal processing. I find myself so often, my default is verbal processing with others, obviously my wife. Instead of the first thing we need to do is we verbal process to God. Hey, we're a collective people. The Bible says we need to be accountable. We love talking to others. And we live in a world, I don't know if you know, that peer opinion has become the ultimate de facto now. It used to be leaders. We used to listen to leaders. We used to believe in the healthy thing of leadership. But because leaders have messed up so continuously in the political front and the church front, we really struggle to trust leaders, church leaders even. We struggle. We don't know it, but it's creeping up on us. So our default is not, let's ask a leader. Well, peers have now got the same value in our lives. So we run to peers, and it's like peer opinion left, right, and center. Let's go to Facebook, see what they say. Let's listen to AI. Instead of at that moment, it's like, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Because all that peer stuff you can do, I know it's important not to be alone, and it's important to be reminded that you're not alone, but I want to tell you, none of that stuff is stronger than your fears. But He is. He is. He's our helper. And helper does not mean helper like somebody that's got nothing else to do, they're going to come and help you do something you don't want to do. A helper like Jesus is the helper, like the strong one coming alongside and helping us and holding us up and lifting us and strengthening us. And so, I guess what I want to do, I want us to say, so how does that, so what do we do with what we've heard this morning? And I'm going to ask you in a few seconds, and for you that are slow processes, you can think nobody is going to come to the front. I'm going to ask Ilke here, I don't know if she's here, I can't remember. I'm going to ask you to sit where you're at, and I'm going to ask you to, is there somebody that can just play? Yeah, just play on the piano for me. And the reason he's doing that is not so that we create the mood. It's actually so that I create enough background music so that you can do what I'm asking you to do. I'm going to ask you to chat to God as if he's sitting right next to you. In fact, he's so close, he almost sits on your lap. Please don't get the wrong idea now, but he's so close, closer than your spouse next to you. And I want you to think of the most personal, most crazy, mind-blowing thing that has bothered you, that is consuming you, that is making you want to break out in bouts of anxiety and panic. You just want to suffocate thinking of it. And you've never spoken about it, or you just don't talk about it, or you stay away from it. Deepest fear, deepest whatever, doesn't matter what it is, that one thing. And I want you to talk to God about it. But what I'm going to ask, and can you put the music even a little bit louder as soon as I'm finished? I want you to talk to God verbally about it. In other words, sound needs to come out of your mouth. But the music is there to drown out that anyone else next to you hear. And if you're like me, even if it means you have to take, because I have a very loud mouth. If you have to do that so that nobody hears you, so that you can say what you need to say, then you do that. But I want to ask you not to think it, not to go. I want you to say it, Lord, I just want to come this morning and what I want to talk to. I want you to talk like you talk to God that's with us. Please excuse me if it gives you the wrong impression, sitting on your lap. Or you sitting on his lap, rather. You sitting on his lap, and you've got your hands, and he's sitting there, and he's got his hands around you. And you can feel that sense of safety. Like, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. You have that sense. And I want you to talk to God. Take him at least minimum a minute. And if you've covered topic one, you can go to topic two if you have to. But please, can I ask you? And this is just for this time. Don't cut this part out. Go and put it on Facebook and say, he says, don't say Lord. I almost don't want you to say Lord. Just say, Jesus. Jesus. Because for Lord for us is a foreign word that we sometimes don't understand what it means. Just say, Jesus, I just want to bring this before you. Please don't use, try to use not just religious language. Talk as if you're talking to a normal person and you're sitting on their lap. Normal, normal, normal. Okay, you get me. I'm just going on and on. But please don't try to sound religious. And go for it. And I want you, in the first meeting, I didn't hear people vocally enough. I heard nothing. I want the music to go louder. I want you to up the volume there, please, so that you can actually speak quite loudly and just keep your hand over your mouth so you can talk to him. Each one of us, please.